If you are using a pew Bible, you could turn to page 1492. Just remember the year that Columbus sailed the ocean blue, 1492. And if you're using your own Bible, we're in Matthew chapter 2, or if you're on your phone or pad, you can call up Matthew chapter 2, and let's stand together. If you can stand, let's stand as we read God's Word, the first 18 verses of the chapter, and we'll spend a few moments together in it this morning. Part of the Christmas story, and so well acted out for us by the children, which will be a help for our memory as we walk through these verses. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Heavenly Father, as we read these words, we have become over the years accustomed to the story, and yet we pray that you would touch us afresh and anew in these moments that we spend thinking about your word and its implications into our lives today. We ask that by your Spirit, you would touch each of our hearts in a fresh way, and that each one of us would experience the presence and the power of the living God. In this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. It took a lot of preparation for the children to do so well, don't you think so? And preparation is an amazing thing. Yeah. I I notice around my house there is all kinds of preparations. There are nice things that appear on my table from time to time that have been baked, and the Christmas tree is up, and all kinds of decorations are there. And you notice there's all kinds of decorations here, and it takes time to prepare. Preparation is a key thing, isn't it? And I want, in my few moments this morning, just to think about one step ahead. As we think about the journey with Jesus, we see that there is preparation, and we'll dwell on it for a few moments together. When you think about it, each of us make our own preparations for this season. We prepare the home, the tree, the food, the family. It's a season of love as families get together. It's great to welcome those extra family members who are with us today. Thank you so much for coming and encouraging the children along as they serve the Lord Jesus today. And you think about how did Satan react to that first Christmas time? He tried to have a preparation as well. And how about the wise men? How prepared were they? That's a long journey from the east to Jerusalem. But we see in the Bible that God is preparing his people always one step ahead. You read scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll see that God always tells his people what it is that he is doing. And as we think upon this, I want us just to think about some of the preparation that is happening in the Christmas story for a few moments today. First of all, we find that the Lord prepares his people by sending a messenger. His name was John. We call him John the Baptist. But as you think about him, he came with a message to the nation of Israel, to the people of God. He is, in a sense, the last of the Old Testament prophets. And, you know, God always prepared his people. He even told them when they were going to spend 70 years in captivity, he told them that they would be slaves in Egypt for 400 years. He always prepares his people. And to me, that is an amazing fact that we sometimes overlook, because as we think about the birth of Christ, and yes, there's the sudden appearance of the angels and all of those things, but John came with an assignment, a message from God. In Malachi 4 and verse 6, it says, "He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers." He came with a message that would impact family, that would impact nation, a messenger to prepare. And he was preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we think about all of our Christmas preparations, I'd have to confess, Roberta, just stick your fingers in your ears for a moment. I did a little Christmas shopping yesterday morning. I walked over to the Cornwall Mall, and I won't tell you where I went. But one of the people said to me, "Are you just about finished?" And I said, "No, I'm actually just beginning." "Oh," she said, "you don't have much time." I said, "Well, it's not Christmas Eve yet." We have all kinds of preparation. But when you think about Jesus, God sent a messenger with a message to touch the heart of families and the nation. He was an unlikely-looking messenger. I think John the Baptist was a man who would have turned heads, don't you? Camel hair and a leather girdle. I think people might have said, "Who is that?" But I'll tell you what. He's like a preacher down in Kentucky that they used to say, "Anybody who looks that ugly has to have something to say." Yeah. And he did. The Lord wanted his people to be prepared, to be one step ahead. And that is still true in the gospel today. That is why the gospel is preached and why Jesus came, so that we might be a step ahead, to be able to overcome sin and Satan and death, and to know the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. John came saying, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In other words, remove the obstacles. And I'm speaking to some of you this morning, and there are obstacles in your life. You would come to Christ except, what would my friends say? What would it cost me? What would happen with my work? How many changes would it make? And I would simply say to you this morning, the Word of God says those things are of no consequence. The Word of God says you need salvation. You need Christ. And so, don't let this day go by as just a day where we saw the beautiful work of the children, but let it be a day when you begin to understand, Lord, I want to prepare my heart. There are obstacles in the way. And some of us would serve the Lord even more so, except that there are obstacles in the way. Sometimes there are people obstacles, and sometimes there are other kinds of things that we have allowed to creep into our life. The things that we watch, and the things that we read, and the things that we do that others don't know about. Ah, my dear friends, God wanted his people to be prepared, and John came with that message calling people, clear the way. Let nothing, nothing stop you from finding the way of the Lord. Yes, there are all kinds of activities and things that do get in the way. And so as God's preparation is recorded in Scripture, we see so clearly. John is just saying, clear the way. Make straight paths for him. Let the mountains be laid low. Those are the high points in life. Didn't you love the three stars? Whoo! Mine's not quite long enough. And I'm scared if I grew a beard and wore a blue sweater, I'd be called Papa Smurf, so I don't do it. You see, prepare the way. Let pride fall. And the valleys be filled up. You'll find those texts in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, if you want to look for them. I'm not going to take time this morning to go over there. It goes on to say, let the crooked be made straight and the rough places smooth. In other words, clear out the debris so that Christ can be Lord and Savior in your life. God wants you to be one step ahead. We find in the Christmas story that in his preparations, God also sent a protector. Not just a messenger, but one who was to protect. That's Joseph. And as you think about him, we kind of go by that part of the story, but just think with me for a moment. He is to protect Mary. He is to protect Jesus. On that long journey to Bethlehem, with a 9-month pregnant lady to protect her, to bring her safely, to take Jesus and Mary and to go to Egypt. Oh, how the guidance of God comes to this man who is a protector. You see, God kept Joseph one step ahead, and that's what he wants to do in your life and in mine today, one step ahead. You know, there's an old Irish proverb or poem, I can't help but pop it in this morning. You probably know it. It talks about, may the road rise up to meet you and the wind be always at your back and the rain fall softly on your fields. And it finishes up by saying, and may you be in heaven half an hour before the devil knows you're dead. You see, even the Irish know that God wants you to be one step ahead, to know for sure where you will spend eternity, and to have that sense of his fatherly protection over you. Just think about the marvel of the life of Joseph, a life surrendered and a life that is completely fulfilled because of his obedience to the Lord. But you know, in our text, we find that there is also the devil at work. I said, how did he prepare? Well, there's a murderer in the Christmas story. His name is Herod. And here in Matthew 2 and verse 16, when he saw he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry and sent forth and put to death all the male children. Truth is always opposed. You know that? And if you live for the truth, you will find opposition. You definitely will. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't live for the truth. From Satan, there is this murderer at work. He is an evil man. He is a manipulator. History tells us he was a shrewd politician. He was a man who knew how to control and to hold everything to himself. You know, Silas played him so well when he said, there ain't no king around here but me. Cal, sorry. I got the wrong guy. We see that the truth is always opposed. There's a murderer in this situation. He's a bit like King Canute. He's a fellow in history that I learned about as I grew up in the UK. King Canute was a Danish king in England, and his followers told him, man, you are the man. You could command the waves of the sea and they would obey you. So they toted his throne down to the seashore and they set it there in the sand. And King Canute came and sat upon the throne and commanded the waves to go the other way. His throne went to sea that day. And so did Herod's. For you see, God's plan to bring salvation to us was completed. There will always be those who would stand against it. But God's word keeps us one step ahead. The evil one wanted to stop the expression of the love of God that comes to you and me in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we find in our Christmas text here in Matthew chapter 2, the Savior. I'm so glad that the Christmas story doesn't end with that sad and tragic evil. Now, there are people who sometimes say to me, if God is so good, why would he allow something like that to happen? If God is so good, why would he send someone to a lost eternity in hell? God didn't murder the innocents. Herod did. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We make that choice. Either we choose for Christ and heaven, or we choose that we'll have none of that. And there is that lost eternity. We see a Savior who is born here in Bethlehem. He drew the wise men to seek him out, to come and to worship him. They were one step ahead. They knew from looking at the heavens. Does not Psalm 19 say, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament the handiwork of his hands? And as they looked, they saw. They knew, and they came to him. A little time has passed since he was born, because the Greek word used for the child here is not a little baby. Technon is a young child. So when you think of the wise men on the night that he was born, don't. They came just a little bit later. Isn't it interesting that when they came to the people of God, to whom he had sent a messenger, they didn't know. And they were troubled. All Jerusalem was troubled. Herod the king was troubled. The religious leaders were troubled. Because, you see, they had grown comfortable in religion. And Jesus came to establish a very personal relationship with each individual who would trust him and make him Savior and Lord. Oh, my friends, the wise men were one step ahead. They were warned in a dream. Don't go back to Herod. You see, the death of those children was the choice of the king who only wanted his own way. But the birth of the real king came so that you and I could have a way to be with God forever in eternity. When they went home, they were not trusting in man, but in God alone, and rejoicing that they had seen the one appointed and anointed by God, the one who is the God-man, to bring salvation. You think about preparation. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. You see, Jesus came so that we might have life. And he left to prepare a place for those who trust him. Preparation. We read in 2 Corinthians 6, and verse 2, it says, now is the day of salvation. Now. Not tomorrow. You see, the same one who tried to wipe out the Savior in the first place says to our hearts, yes, you need to be saved, but not today. Not today. You can do it some other time. And you know, we believe that. Just like we believe the guys on TV. There's an old saying when I worked for the Billy Graham team. We used to say, the guy on TV, when he scratches his nose, he's not lying to you. And when he scratches his head, he's not lying to you. Only when he opens his mouth is he lying to you. This is the truth. This is Christ's invitation for you, for me, for all. And when we think of the Christmas story and the love that prepared it, we see the mighty acts of God in this Christmas season. He prepares his people and his servants to be one step ahead. And I have good news for you this morning. There will be another Christmas. Did you know that? And the whole point of the gospel period is so that everybody who lived in those centuries could have the invitation of God to meet him at Christmas number 2 when he returns. When he came as a little baby. But when he comes, he'll come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No more argument, no more room to decide. We have to do that today. Many preparations in place. I just would ask you as I wrap up these quick thoughts this morning, are you prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? If the first Christmas was so glorious, how much more so will his coming again? Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, the angels told the disciples, this same Jesus that you saw going into heaven will certainly come again just as you have seen him go. In love, Jesus came to invite us to receive his salvation. In love, he promised never to leave us or forsake us. In love, his word is clear that he will return for his own. Are you prepared for that day? Oh, I sometimes think when I get up to preach on Sunday, Lord, if you were to come before the end of this message, let there be enough gospel in it that anybody in the place could say yes to you. He went to extreme preparations for you. He loves you. He has life for you. So let me take a moment and just pray. And if you're here this morning and you've never really settled that issue of where you'll spend eternity, make that preparation. Take this prayer into your heart. Breathe it from your heart to God's heart. We simply admit our need and believe the gospel and invite Christ to come and live in our hearts. And we do it with words like these. And you can do it right where you are, just by from your heart saying, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I've done wrong. I am a sinner who needs a Savior. Please forgive me for my sin. And come, Lord, come into my heart. Take charge of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to walk in the fellowship of your church. In Jesus' name, amen."